Shoes.
Recorded live.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and it is the 17th of June, 2013, and this is the EMSO AR Library Q&A call. So we've got several questions today, and let's get started. First question. My husband and I just started EMS online June 2nd. His affair partner is almost 3 months pregnant. She just recently lost her job because of the affair. My husband quit in early April to work on our marriage. I want my marriage. He doesn't know what he wants. He said he needs time to get his thoughts together and moved out. We are officially separated, though we do see each other multiple times a week because of our four-month-old son. Now, because of the pregnancy, he is in contact with her and says it's a necessity. Discussing what they're going to do, wellness checks, talked about going to the doctor's appointments with her, offered to be with her when she tells her parents. Also, he's helping her look for a new job. He gets mad that I get hurt or upset when I learn about the time they spend together. They have new reasons to bond them together and keep a chain of communication open. To me, the affair is happening all over again. I agree he needs to be in the child's life, but he can't do that without caring for her. But he can do that without caring for her at the same time. Two questions. Since we're separated, do I have any say in holding him accountable to his marriage? We both agree that the intention of the separation isn't divorce. Well, certainly you can tell him how it affects you. I don't know that holding him accountable, you can tell him what your conditions are and just say, you can draw your own boundary and just say, if the affair is ongoing, it's not something that I'm willing to continue working on. At the same time, I would almost hesitate doing that right at this stage and try to get at least through week six. And I would do that after week six of EMSO and see if that at that point, if he's able to be more amenable to this. I don't know if he's got a therapist. If there's a therapist, it might be good to get a third party to be able to talk about it. But in a sense, you're right. You know, without cutting contact off, it certainly there isn't a way to actually work on the relationship while he does the relationship with her. And that makes it very difficult. And should I be tying up my running shoes and running far, far away? I watched your video on relapse. I love this man. I believe God can save our marriage. And there's more at stake with our four-month-old son. But the pain of his continued selfishness and hurtful behavior makes me wonder if I'm crazy for still being here. Well, obviously, again, there's got to be some level of ambivalence in him to be doing what he's doing, to be taking the course with you. And whether or not he's going to break free from her, I don't know. I do know that in a way that, you know, at least with the course contract, you've agreed to do the EMSO. If by the time you get through the course, he hasn't gotten boundaries set with her and broken off the, I guess, the working together aspect of their relationship. I mean, I understand he needs to be involved in the child's life, but he doesn't need to be her support. If that can't be straightened out at the end of EMSO, I would suggest potentially putting those tennis shoes on, because, I mean, there's no way with that relationship continuing to go on that anything can happen. At the same time, there's probably nothing to lose in the next few months completing the course and seeing where everything ends up. So that would be my suggestion and the way I begin to go forward with it. Just be patient and see what happens. Things may shift after week six or week seven. In the long run, if they don't, and certainly he'll watch the relapse piece at some point. And at that point, if it doesn't change, you may have no option except to draw your own boundary and say this isn't something that can work. And certainly it's not something that can work for me. And if that's your choice, then it's something I don't want. And then you make the decision. And then he has to decide what he wants once you call that. But give him a chance, because like I said, you've made an agreement to do EMSO and not to file for divorce yet. So let's hold to that and then see what happens at the end of the course. Second question. Rick, my husband and I are now are just over 3 months from D-Day. We are in week 6 of our EMS Online. A few weeks ago, I was starting to feel like I was finally healing. The triggers and intensive thoughts were decreasing slightly, and I was starting to sleep at night again. All things considered, I felt good and actually felt hopeful. However, the last 10 days or so have been terrible. Everything feels raw and new again. The invasive thoughts are back. The triggers are back. I'm struggling to sleep at night, leaving me exhausted and not functioning well during the day. I've been trying to find a reason for this, and my thought was that it was situational. A couple of weeks ago, we moved into a new house, and things have been a little chaotic with moving. Discussing this with my husband, we have identified that this is the second or third time it's actually happened to me. I start feeling better, and then it all crashes down again. My question is, does recovery happen in cycles, or is it some sort of self-sabotage that I've created to protect myself? My husband feels that maybe I'm building a wall for protection, and when I finally get to the top of that wall, I panic and build it higher. Do you think that's this is an unhealthy habit that I've created, or is it normal? Actually, it's pretty normal. I don't know that it's a wall for protection. Typically, what I see as a person begins to get more intimate with their mate, they hit what's called an intimacy tolerance level. And at that point, it's almost like there's a part of them that begins to withdraw and almost protect themselves by saying, whoa, you know, I don't know if it's safe yet. Now, so it's really common for people to go up and down. On a good mental health day, they're doing fine. On a bad mental health day, they may be doing terrible. And if you think about it, if you're on week 6, you've also, about the time this started, y'all must have been doing the 40 cost. And sometimes just having something really intimate like the 40 cost where he finally gets it, you know, there's a lot of encouragement and it feels like we're moving forward. And then suddenly you go, what's wrong with me? Because I feel like I want to go the opposite direction now. And again, I would say that's common and that it will pass. You'll do better again. And you'll find that it's an up and down process, you know, again, for 18 to 24 months. Now, it's not nearly as low every time, and it will start getting better probably in the next 2 to 3 months. But when it goes back and you start having those intrusive thoughts, don't think you haven't made progress. Just the fact that you're doing better on some days is a huge improvement. Over time, what you'll find is the frequency of those valleys will begin to decrease, and those low spaces will come farther and farther apart, and you'll have a huge valley when you hit the one-year mark. Everybody goes down at that point, and they go, what's wrong? I've got all these intrusive thoughts all over again. What, you know, we must not have made any progress. Well, that's not the case. Most couples were doing really well. It's just they hit one of those valleys due to the reminders. So reminders will trigger or reactivate a lot of the intrusive thoughts. But again, they will pass over time. Just be patient. It'll get better. And I think in the long run, you'll find that you just continue a slow improvement just as you move forward. Next question. Hi, Rick. I learned a year ago of my husband's many infidelities throughout our marriage and some during the years that we dated. I'm curious to know how I should look back on the past 10 years of my life with my husband. Right now, I do not revisit the past at all. When I look at the pictures of our past, it fills me, when I look back at the pictures of our past, it fills me with sadness and anger. I was completely oblivious to the life that my husband led. I used to have a very fun, memorable stories of our wedding day, the birth of our son, and so on and so forth. Now the stories have changed, and they're not so pleasant. As far as I'm concerned, every memory I had with my husband was just a lie. However, as much as I would like to erase all memories of the past, I cannot, because so much of the past involves many memories of our son and the three of us together. So how can I look back and find any peace and truth? Also, I'm wondering, how could I ever know if my husband relapsed and started engaging in this type of behavior again. All but one of his affairs was not attached to sexual acts that occurred with were non-attached sexual acts that occurred with coworkers. My husband is creating a very safe environment for me, but the fact remains that he still works and probably always will work with an abundance of women and opportunities for these sexual flings. How am I to ever really know? What are some of the major key steps in my husband's maintained recovery? Thank you again for all of your help. Wow. So one of the ways that I know Leslie Hardy looks at this, and I think it's excellent, is that the problem your husband had, and she's the one that wrote Harboring Hope, is that he had two sets of books. I mean, he had one set of books that was about his secret life, and he had another set of books that was with you and your son. That doesn't mean that what happened, everything that happened between you and your son wasn't real. In fact, as strange as this sounds, and I know it's got to be difficult to understand because as a woman it's difficult to compartmentalize the way men do, but that's not something, those memories he had with you, those are real memories. Those pictures and that joy on his face, that was real joy. In reality, I'm sure there were many things he loved and cherished and appreciated about his marriage. The problem gets to be over time. I think that we ultimately struggle just trying to separate out what was addiction and what was real. I just think that the majority of what was going on in the marriage was true to the marriage. Doesn't mean the other stuff wasn't going on, and certainly he wasn't everything you thought, or he's everything you thought plus a lot more. One of the things my wife said to me once upon a time that I thought was really astute, she just said, I used to think at times you were sort of shallow, but now I realize I only knew about 40 or 50% of who you are, and I don't know what to do with the other 60%. And she didn't. So I think that just tell yourself that parts of that stuff was true. Look at it as two books. Now, the next question you had in there, how will you ever really know? Hopefully the intimacy level that's being created between you and your husband at this point, where he's being honest about this stuff, will give you a new kind of set point for what intimacy is. If he won't be able to do this behavior and still stay connected to you simultaneously, the deeper your relationship goes with him, the more I think intuitively you'll be able to sense it as it happens, or at least you'll be able to sense the disconnect before something even begins to happen. Now, whether or not and how he keeps you safe, it really is a lot about your husband's taking responsibility for his own reform. And if you see him doing the necessary work to keep himself safe, then I believe with all my heart that you're going to feel over the long run that he's doing what he needs to do. If he's staying in his groups, if he's addressing his addictive issues, if he's always keeping appropriate boundaries. By watching what he does and his efforts at recovery, making sure that he's protecting himself, you can know that things will be okay. Stephanie can always feel safe as long as she sees me continually doing the work I need to do to stay safe. I don't assume I won't do it again. I assume that I would do it again if I ever allowed myself back in those opportunities. So what I do is I avoid the opportunities. And when you get to relapse prevention, it'll talk a lot about what that looks like. Something your husband might be able to do if he's willing is take the Hope for Healing course, because that course actually talks about creating a life plan and helps guys learn what they've got to do for the rest of their life to keep their mate safe, to keep from going back into this stuff. And that's what I think all of us really want. I mean, I'm sure he didn't want to be unfaithful, and I'm sure he doesn't want to be unfaithful now. But it would be foolish of him to say this won't ever happen again. And even from what you said, it sounds like he's doing what he needs to do to straighten things up at work and be safe. But that's an ongoing process. And if you can see him doing that, you know, through the course, through the rest of this year and beginning of next year, you'll kind of know whether or not he's actually kind of staying the course and recognizing that he's got to live a different life if he's going to protect you and protect your family. And I hope that's what he does. Like I said, hope for healing. For someone like that, hope for healing can be very, very helpful. So our next question, let's see here. What does repentance in an unfaithful spouse look like? My husband's affair put me in an alternate reality, and I can't trust my own judgment anymore, especially since he betrayed me once before when we were still dating and promised me that it would never happen again, and it did. After 5 years of our marriage, he has said he's sorry many times and that he's done many things to help me deal with my pain for almost a year now, since D-Day. But how can I know whether he's truly repentant? So to me, I'll just give you the things I look for. Oftentimes I call it the R's for repentance. Somebody who recognizes what they've done, somebody who takes responsibility and isn't blaming someone else for what they've done, because if it's somebody else's fault, you can never really feel safe because that person is just a victim. Until we can figure out what we could have done different, better, or more, we'll always feel like we had no choice. So when someone really takes responsibility, they just say, look, they begin to see what they were doing to make it happen. The third one is remorse. I mean, somebody needs to be incredibly grieved over what they did. And when you see that remorse, that's really going to help. I think you know that he's at least concerned about what he did to you. If you see no remorse, then it begins to feel as if you don't really matter. But it sounds like you're seeing that remorse. The third one is restitution, and you mentioned that one in here, which is he's sorry many times and has done many things to help me deal with the pain. Restitution, I think, are the things we do that help the other person deal with the pain. And finally, to me, the last one is reform. Someone who is truly repentant, I think, really changes how they live, and they take responsibility in such a manner as they address the problem. Nobody else is their motivation. They do it for themselves. Not only do they do that for themselves, they begin to put plans in place for how they can live the rest of their life and not ever do this thing again. I think that when they're reformed, they create support groups that just to keep themselves accountable. But they change how they live, and you see that. That's the reform you begin to see. They address circumstances and situations just to make sure that they can be safe for you. And when you see that sort of form, you know that repentance is truly deep and it's there. So hopefully that's what you're seeing in him, and you'll come to a place where you can feel safe in that relationship. So that's all of our questions for the day. Thank you, everybody, for getting those in. And hopefully, if you've got some more questions, I hope you'll post them. I just think it's helpful for all of us to be able to see and or to talk about this stuff and just to get those questions out there and hopefully find some answers. So I hope everybody has a good week, and I look forward to talking to you next Monday. To healing.